Your Bibles to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, 1 John, which is almost to the end of the New Testament, almost to the end of the Bible. This was written by the same guy who wrote the Gospel of John, who also wrote the book of Revelation. And he wrote three epistles, three letters. That's what an epistle is. It's a letter. John was probably the youngest of the apostles and was probably one of the last living of the apostles. His books were some of the last written books of the Bible. This letter, this epistle, was probably written around 90 to 95 A.D. So that was probably around 60 years after the life of Christ, life and death of Christ. So a lot of the other ones were written within 20 and 30 years of his life, very much at a time when witnesses would still have been around to say, yep, we were there, we saw this happen. John was one of the latter books. But one of the things that you'll find in his books is John had great concern for the church. Great concern for the church to stay true, to not be deceived, to not be led astray. This was, we think of 1 John as being a letter about love. God is love, and that's part of it. But it's a pretty strongly written book, isn't it? And John is trying to get across to the believers, you must be careful who you follow. You have to be careful. He starts off in verse 18 of chapter 2 of 1 John. Dear children, this is the last hour. You ever have somebody say something like that? All right, guys, this is it. Right? You know they're really serious about what they're going to say. Now, what is he talking about, the last hour? There's a few different perspectives. I don't really think it's clear, to be honest with you. Sometimes we think about that type of terminology talking about the last days and the soon and coming return of Christ. But John doesn't write about that in any of his epistles, really. He just does not touch upon Paul wrote a lot about it. John just did not write about the return of Christ in his epistles. So I don't know that that's what it is. It's possible that he just had a sense that he was one of the last apostles. This was a time, a season, an era where things were going to be changing for the church. The eyewitnesses were all dying off, right? Maybe he had a sense from the Holy Spirit that you need to keep people on track and on focus and on Christ. Maybe the Spirit was just letting him know the time of growth for the church was going to turn into a time of persecution for the church, was going to turn into a time of false teaching and heresy that was going to begin to start bubbling up. That's why he was saying there's an urgency. You need to walk in the light as he is in the light, right? You need to not follow the world. You hear that these are the things that we see John talking about. And he goes on to say, dear children, this is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. He gives a little bit of a hint. Whatever the last hour is, it's characterized by what? Many antichrists. Now, we think about, well, the word, just, what's the word Christ mean? The word Christ is just a Greek word for Messiah. Right? So the Old Testament, when they talked about the soon coming Messiah, the Greek word, that was the Jewish word, was Messiah. The Greek word was Christ. So when you hear Jesus being referred to as Jesus Christ, his last name wasn't Christ, okay? It was just saying Jesus Messiah, Jesus Messiah. Jesus, the coming one that was going to be the Savior for all. And so when something says Antichrist, it's just meaning that they were anti-Messiah. They were anti-coming of the Messiah, and they spoke against that. It's one, the definition is basically one who opposes Christ, one who opposes the Messiah, or even can be used one who is puts themselves in the place of or instead of the Messiah. So that's that word anti means either opposes or is a substitute for. So he says that this is how we know. There's many have come. Many people that are anti or opposed to Jesus have come. And it says in verse 19, they went out from us. These people who were anti-Messiah, anti-Jesus, opposing Jesus, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them really belonged to us in the first place, right? It says their actions on leaving the body show where their affinity was, where their faith was. It says there were many, right? It says many antichrists have come. So it's not, sometimes when we think about that word antichrist and we hear about it in end time prophecies, we think it's going to be some big polarizing, popular, everybody's going to know who the Antichrist is. John's not talking about that. He's talking about people who are just opposed to Jesus being the Messiah, right? Just people who are once in the body. These are people who are amongst them. Nobody knew the difference. They did all the things that the rest of the church did. They said the same things. They did the same things. And then one day, They left. They looked like they were part of us, John's saying, but then they showed us who they really were when they just, we're not a part of this anymore. Maybe it made me think of if you think of the parable of the seeds, you have the seed that was sown on rocky soil. What happened to that that seed? Yeah, it sprouted up. It was excited about it at first. But then when the tough times come and the sun beat down, because there was no depth of root, there was no depth there, they fell away. And maybe that's what these antichrists, these opposed to Jesus people were. But the hard thing is now, they didn't just drift away. We've all seen people that have done that. It's sad. They come and then they drift away. These folks tried to take other people with them. That was the big difference. Let's stand as we read our verse today. Let's read today. Dear children, this is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. This is what he promised us, eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Lord, thank you for this word. We know every word from Scripture is important to us, but we see how these verses speak to our time, our season in the world today so clearly. Help us, Lord, to really hear, Holy Spirit, from you. Teach us, Holy Spirit, not just information, but transformation. Lord, teach us this in a way that changes us from the inside out. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for never giving up on us, always being our teacher. We love you today. Our hearts are open. In your Son Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So while he's warning them about the people that are trying to lead them astray, he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. What's your anointing? You've been anointed with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that dwells in every believer. What did Jesus say? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. You see how similar these two verses are. The Holy One that will help us all to know the truth because he indwells us. The Antichrist will just be anti-Jesus. It's very simple. The Holy Spirit will guide you towards Jesus. Those who are anti-Jesus will guide you away from Jesus. Be careful who you follow today. Right? Where do you see that around you? Think about that. Where do you see that? People leading you away. People saying, you should, are you sure about that, Jesus? Doubt, I'm not sure about that. They sow seeds of doubt. Now, it's okay to ask hard questions. God is not afraid of hard questions. You dig as deep as you want into the Scripture and into the gospel, and I guarantee you, if you have an open and honest heart to really know the truth, not just what you want the truth to be, but what the truth really is, you will find the truth there. I never doubt that. So to ask the hard questions. God's not afraid of them. But beware of the ones that are asking questions in a way that are intended to lead you away from him rather than towards what the truth is. And if the truth is truth, right? 2 + 2 = 4, right? Then you shouldn't have to worry about trying to delve into the reality of that arithmetic equation because it's going to be right there. 2 + 2 will still equal 4. If Jesus is the truth and you're seeking truth, you will end up at Jesus. So, God's okay with hard questions, but it's the one, and this is how, again, this is a pretty tough book. John says, who's the liar? Anybody like being called a liar? Nobody likes that. Well, John said, it's whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist. Those are strong words. Again, get your mind off of the concept of the Antichrist being some you know, end times popular, you know, person that everybody's going to see. John is speaking of the Antichrist as being anybody who speaks against Jesus, anti-Jesus. Who is it? It's whoever denies that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. And that person denies that, is denying the Father and the Son. Now, Satan isn't stupid. We've said if you believe in God and Jesus, you got to believe that there's a Satan as well. He's not just the pitchfork guy with horns and a red suit. He is a real fallen angel, and he is the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince of this world, right? And he's not stupid. He's not going to go out there and try to get everybody to stop believing in God. It can feel good for people to believe in God. All Satan needs to do is get them to believe in God, but what? But deny Jesus. You can get all kinds of people to pray prayers to God and talk about God in all kinds of ways. But this verse says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. It's a package deal, right? There's people that say, you know, don't, those people that take this Jesus thing so seriously, like it's got to be their way, they're really judgmental or narrow-minded. Well, hopefully we're not judgmental, but we are narrow-minded. You know why? Yeah, Jesus said, yeah, there's only one way. Narrow is the road that leads to life. Wide is the path that leads to what? Destruction. Yeah, I mean, but Satan tries to get us to think that the wide way is okay. It's enough. You don't have to be all wrapped up in the Jesus thing, but where do we see that? It's around us today, isn't it, in our culture? People that say, oh, the Bible and Jesus is the only way, that's the wrong side of history. You ever hear that phrase before? Oh, you're on the wrong side of history. Well, guess what? Jesus was around before history ever even existed. He created history. And you can't be on the wrong side of history if you're on the side of Jesus. And, you know, people say, oh, it's okay. They want to have a nice, loving, soft Jesus, right? But they don't want to have to deal with some of the things that Jesus said, right? Jesus was kind of narrow-minded, wasn't he? What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Hear that. Jesus said this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father God except through me. That's pretty narrow-minded. Well, guess what? If you were God the Son who came to this earth to die for the sins of a lost world, you'd be saying that too. Because you're like, I'm the one. I literally am God. I'm literally dying for your sins. You have no other hope but through me. That's, if he knows who he is, that's what he's going to say. That's what he's going to say. But people don't like those kinds of things. They don't like the take up your cross and follow me. They don't like when Jesus said, if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. We like the soft Jesus. The John 3:16 is fine. Jesus, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. But we forget about the, what about the outer darkness? What about the times when Jesus talked about the weeping and gnashing of teeth for those that don't put their faith in Jesus? What about that? You can't pick and choose the things that you like about what Jesus said. If he's God the Son, and he said, I've come to make a way for you to be in heaven with me and my Father eternally, that's a good thing. Take that. But when he also said, but if I am the way, and if you don't come through me, then there is weeping and gnashing and eternal suffering in hell. We have to take all of what Jesus said. Otherwise, we're just making up a God of our own choosing. And would you like that if I did that? This week, I'm going to go into my office. I'm going to come up with the Warren Community Church religion. Would you be okay with that? Please say no. It would be awful. It would be horrible for me to do that. Because it would all just be my ideas. God's ideas are God's ideas, and that's why we have to follow him. The world says, well, he was a good teacher, but the whole rose from the dead thing? Yeah. Do you really believe that? This is the age of science. We know better than that. I was learning about a thing called, they're doing a series on socialism and where that came from. It's only been in the last couple hundred years that socialism has even been a thing. And it was tried by somebody in something called New Harmony, Indiana. And they tried to gather a bunch of people together. We're going to do this where nobody was going to own anything, and we're all going to just work together, and we'll all get the fruits of our labors together. Well, it lasted about 2 years. But the interesting thing that struck me was one of the three tenets of this new harmony in Indiana that they put together was that, and this was born out of the Age of Enlightenment, the 1700s, 1800s, where they started thinking that human intellect and our successes were, we didn't need religion anymore. We didn't need that stuff. We have the smarts. We're going to figure things out. And out of that, people began to put aside all the things of religion and just have these intellectual things. And this was born out of that. But it said in their charter tenet that this community was going to be rid of the Trinity of Evils. They called it the Trinity of Evils that were responsible for all of the world's misery and vices. You know what the Trinity of Evils were? Religion, traditional religion, conventional marriage, and owning of private property. Interesting, isn't it? That just piqued my interest. Satan mixes anti-Jesus with other good-sounding ideas. All he needs to do is one thing: get you to reject Jesus. He doesn't care what else you believe. You can believe in God all day long. Have at it. Just doubt Jesus. That's all he needs to get you to do. But John said, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. And he said, this is a package deal. You don't get one without the other. You deny the Son. He said very clearly, you have denied the Father as well. Acknowledge the Son. You have the Father. So he says, be careful who you follow, is what he's saying. Where do you see this? If he ends this, and I'm just going to go to 25 here. As you see, as for you, you see that what you have heard from the beginning, remains in you. See to it that these things remain in you. If it does, you'll remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. It's in his Son. The life is in the Son, right? I just want to, if you'll indulge me, what are some ways that you see our world, our culture, trying to lead us, lead you, lead people away from Jesus? I'm throwing that out there. What ways have you seen that? Bill?
Education,
very much trying to, they're very much in the intellectual, the enlightenment mindset that we are enough. We don't need God. Yeah, Jerry. All right, entertainment, that just, it doesn't just put it out there. It celebrates it, and not only does it celebrate it, it celebrates the people that do it as if we're going to lift them up as great people because they're out there living whatever they want to do, right? Paul. Yeah. Yeah, whether it's sports people or entertainers or there's just, we love to lift up people as the ones we want to follow after. Scott. Yeah, the push towards redefining what God created marriage to be between a man and a woman and redefining it to any number of different things. And what was the other thing? Yeah. Yeah. Taking God out of the schools and replacing it with our smarts, right? Don. What's that? Oh, so how is that? Okay, so you're seeing toys that really cause people to not live in a Christ-like way. Okay. Okay. Demonic type things and toys. Okay. Mm-hmm. Doug? So there are the idea that we need to put our trust in fill in the blank, our political leaders, our social leaders, the people that are out in front of everybody, that we need to trust how they are leading us rather than how God would lead us. Yeah. Yeah, lots of ways that the world is trying to push us towards dependence on humans. That's what humanism is, right? That's what was born out of the Enlightenment era, humanism. We don't need God anymore. We've got this. Scott? Okay. Yeah, taking Christ out of the calendar, out of our holidays. They tried to change the, right, the, it's, yeah, it's 2020, what is it now? BCE? No, that was before. So CE, it's the common era, as opposed to, but the reality is, whether it's BCE or CE or BC or AD, we're still arranging our calendar around whose life and death? Jesus. So that was a nice try. Somebody else? Well, today we need to just determine how am I going to determine that I am not. Bring us back to communion. Bring us back to communion. I will never let anybody take my trust, my focus, my attention off of the most important thing, and that is Jesus and what he's done for me on the cross. Go back through history. There's been the Enlightenment. There's been the all kinds of different eras that have gone through. Yeah. You know what never changes? God never changes. God and the person of his son Jesus does not change. And so keep your eyes fixed on him. Our eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't let, and Satan is so sneaky, he's going to try to weasel it in with something else that sounds good. You just decide, are they trying to get my eyes off of Jesus and onto something else? Be alert. Be careful who you follow. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, would you bless us as we go today, and thank you for this warning that is so relevant today, as so many would want to discount the importance of the Bible, of the person of Jesus as the one and only way to heaven. Lord, help us to just really take this to heart. And Lord, help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to be your voice, to be loud and clear with great joy and with gentleness and kindness, speak the truth so that more people can recognize, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. The cross is everything. And we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did and are going to do through us, Lord God. We give ourselves for your use in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. Lord, use us as your hands and feet and voice, and we will be so privileged and honored to do that. We love you today, Jesus. We ask this all in your name today. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Let's trust God together as we go forward.